So the third part of my sermon series, Sustained by Grace, is God's faithfulness. And so our reading today, and you don't need to look it up because I think you might take a wee bit of time to find it in the Bible, but it is in the Bible. I checked this morning and it's in the Bible. And it's from Lamentations, chapter 3. When was the last time you heard a sermon on Lamentations, chapter 3? Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 21 to 23. Yet this will I call to mind. Therefore I will hope, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I wonder what might be the most important decision a person can make. Maybe the person you decide to marry, if that is what God has planned for you. Maybe your career or a job that you decide to pursue. Maybe a house that you decide to buy, or maybe even a church that you decide to attend. But one of the most important decisions that we can make in life is deciding who we can trust. Putting your trust in the wrong place or in the wrong person can have devastating impact. It can lead to disappointment, financial loss, and even undesirable outcomes. And in life, you soon come to discover, don't you, the kind of people that you can put your trust in. The most common question asked over and over again during the last general election was a simple one. And all the major politicians were asked this, particularly Boris: can you trust this person? Who can you trust? People obviously were told many things, given many promises by politicians about what they would do and what they wouldn't do if they were elected. And over again, the question was asked, but can they be trusted to deliver on their promises? We have the crisis of global warming and climate change, which is high on the agenda, at least in most quarters. But again, the question arises, who can we trust to address effectively the crisis that lies before us? But what a blessing it is to have people in your life that you can trust. And over the past years, Heather and I have given thanks to God for those people in our lives that we have been able to fully trust. When we have been in maybe a dark and painful place, we have been blessed by people we can trust, people who are there for us no matter what and who don't walk away. And I'm sure that you, like us, value those you love, and those whom you can put your trust in. And Heather and I have thanked God for those faithful friends, and we are so pleased that so many of those faithful and special people are here today. And if you have such people in your lives, then why not take this moment just to stop and thank God for the people who are there for you, the people you have been able to trust. There is, however, one whom we can fully trust, one in whom we can totally depend upon. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, it says these words: know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. God is a covenant God. This covenant is essentially a relationship made by God between God and his people. And there are blessings that come if the relationship is kept, and there are penalties that come if the relationship is broken. And a covenant is simply the terms of that relationship. God says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. I will keep to all that I have promised, and I will be faithful in every way. But you keep your promises on your side of the relationship. That is why marriage is a common picture in the Bible of God and his people, the relationship between God and his people, God and his church. For it expresses that covenant relationship. And when Israel sins, what does the Bible call it? The Bible calls it adultery, a broken relationship. So Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and who keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. That's a long way. It really means he is faithful in every generation. So God is utterly reliable, totally trustworthy, and faithful to all his promises. So, in every situation, whatever the circumstance, God is reliable. You can trust him. He will never let you down. He will never walk away. He will neither leave you, and he will never forsake you. God cannot lie. He cannot deceive and will always be faithful to the promises he makes to us, because it is in his character to so be. He cannot be other than who he is in himself, and he is faithful. So Jeremiah said, yet this will I call to mind, therefore I will hope, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So when was the last time you heard a sermon on the Lamentations? And maybe the evangelical charismatic church shies away from the whole concept of lament. After all, we want to emphasize joy, not lament. But lament is part of authentic Christianity, because sometimes, just sometimes, life is not all that easy. It's not always blue skies. And anyone who says it is needs to get hold of reality. And when was the last time that you heard of a leader, or, dare I say, and excluding all who are here in this role, dare I say a bishop? When was the last time you heard a bishop call for a lament for the state of the Christian church in this land? When did you last hear that? A lament. Lamentations chapter 3. I didn't read the whole chapter. It's pretty bleak. It's pretty brutal. It's a brutal record of God's dealings with his people and his prophet. And Jeremiah personalizes to himself what is actually happening in the nation. So, very quick history lesson. Although I'm not a historian, there is one of the most amazing historians throughout the world, actually here in church this morning. And her name is Ali. Sorry, I needed to embarrass her. So the context goes back to 586 BC, just before Steve Townsend was born. 586 BC, when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came and destroyed God's people. The people of God were in a dark place. The gates of the city were destroyed, so there was no defense. The place of their sacred worship, the temple, had been razed to the ground. The law had gone, and the prophets had nothing to say. It was a bad time. Yet, as bad as things are, as dark as it was then, despite being in such a horrid place, Jeremiah does something. He laments. Yes, he laments. But he does something else, which I suggest is so important for us as Christians and has been important for Heather and for me. He says this. In the midst of this, this is a mess. This is dark. Yet this I call to mind. In the midst of this pain, the darkness, where people have been slaughtered by the Babylonians, when the people have seen their temple just desecrated and destroyed, where they felt things couldn't get any worse, Jeremiah sets his mind on a positive focus, this life-giving focus. He takes his mind off what he can see, and he does Christian mindfulness before any modern psychologist came up with the idea. It's all in the Bible. Christian mindfulness. This will I call to mind. He's in the middle of that, and he says, but this I will call to mind. Things are not looking good. There's not a lot going for Jeremiah. And yes, he could sit in the mire of self-pity, but he says, this I will call to mind. He recalls, he remembers everything that he knows about God. What God has taught him in the light, he will not doubt in the darkness. When everything is shaking, when you feel insecure and anxious and broken, it's time to say, as Jeremiah did, yet this will I call to mind. Because God brings him hope. His compassion never fails, and his faithfulness will not falter. Yet this will I call to mind. I will think on this God. This God who has never walked out on me. This God who has never turned and run. This God who will never leave me in the darkness or forsake me in the pain. And I will recall to mind all that this God has been to me in the past. I will trust in his ability to do all he has promised to me. This is what Jeremiah is doing. And yes, I believe that Jeremiah would have felt deep emotional pain as he experienced this brutal onslaught of pain by the Babylonians that sought to wipe out every blessing and comfort that he had ever known. When the emotional pain is so deep, and when you find yourself in that dark place, you can do no better than lean into God. The God you know has never let you down and will never let you down because he is faithful. And he says, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. You remember the milkman used to come to your door and he used to put your milk on the doorstep. And I remember the milky who came when I was living in Glasgow in the winter. You remember, you used to bring in the milk and it was frozen. And you couldn't get it, you know, you had to defrost it. But every morning, the milkman was there to deliver your milk, usually without fail. And every morning you wake, and every morning I wake, there is mercy, grace, and hope for every new morning. Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's ringing a bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's ringing a bell. Open the door and let him in, Mr. McCartney. When you wake up and when you feel that you cannot even say another prayer, or you feel that you cannot even sing another hymn, someone's knocking at the door. You will not be disappointed. And whatever you may be going through, you'll get through. And you'll get through not because you're smart and not because you're super spiritual, but because you heard someone knocking at your door and you opened the door of your heart and you found someone whose hands are bigger than yours, whose strength is greater than yours. And that is how you will get through. Every day, God is faithful. And the testimony that Heather and I want to leave today with you is to testify to that God who has been faithful to us in every way possible. Yes, there have been times when we have danced on the rooftops, not literally, at the joy of all that God has been doing in us and through us and amongst us. But we have also known that even when there's been challenges, even when there has been doubts, God has been faithful. I remember standing in the other church, Trinity Church, where we used to meet, when we started off this whole idea of building a church. And I remember that I'd asked Trevor Hollett if he would be the henchman at the beginning to do some of the heavy lifting with councils and meetings and all of that. And I remember Trevor sharing with us on that day, on that night or morning, about Malachi chapter 3, open, you know, God will open the heavens and pour out such blessing that we will not have room for it. And I remember standing and saying to those of you who were there, I don't think I can do this. I don't think that I can lead the church to accomplish this project. And so I will have to lean into God. And I did. And many times, looking at my own weakness, I have thought, God, I can't do this. And God has been knocking at the door. He's been ringing the bell. And his faithfulness has been displayed in some amazing and wonderful ways. Heather has many stories that she could tell. She probably told most of them last week. But she could tell a whole lot more today about how God has been faithful to us. And I'm not going to rabbit on about that at all. You don't want to hear that. But we want to just testify that in all my ministry of all these years, from what I shared with you over the last few weeks, the whole beginnings of being called, and it really is down to God's faithfulness, to being able to know that I could trust God and he would never let me down. And he has never let us down. And we believe not only has he never let us down, but we believe he will never let us down tomorrow and the days that lie ahead. So I want to end with these words. A man called John Rippon, he experienced many trials and challenges in his walk with God. So he wrote this song. It's quite a modern song. It was written in 1787. And I'll just read it. Fear not, I am with thee. O, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake.